Supreme Court, the State of Hawaii, draw not. Give your attention and you shall be heard.
All right, please call the case.
Case number SCAP-17-482, Kalailoa Ventures versus City and County of Honolulu. Arguing for the appellant, Frederick W. Rolfing III. Also appearing for the appellant, Lisa K. Johnson. Arguing for the appellee, Lee M. Agasalud. Also appearing for the appellee, Karen K. Lee. Argument on the merits.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Rolfing and Mr. Oxlade. Are you both ready to proceed today with your arguments? All right. Mr. Rolfing, you've reserved 10 minutes for rebuttal. We'll give you a warning light with 10 minutes to go. And Mr. Oxlade will give you a warning light with 5 minutes to go. Please proceed.
Good morning, Chief Justice Rechtenwald and Honorable Justices.
Good morning.
May it please the court. The taxpayer appellant, Kalailoa Ventures, LLC, timely filed its notice of appeal on January 17, 2017, in full compliance with Hawaii Revised Statutes 232-16, 1-32, and 1-29, Rules 2A1 and 29 of the Rules of the Tax Appeal Court, and Rules 6A of the Hawaii Rules of Civil Procedure. On December 19, 2016, the taxpayer received notices of real property tax assessments from the city in the mail regarding 15 properties, for which it is the taxpayer, and these properties are located in Kalailoa. The notices were for the 2017-2018 tax year. Hawaii Revised Statutes 232-16 establishes the right to appeal an assessment of a county directly to the tax appeal court, and the procedure for commencing a direct appeal is in that statute. Now, there's a question that we mentioned in our brief, whether the city is authorized to fix the date for the taking of an appeal. But for the purposes of this argument, we are willing to proceed with the, on the assumption that the city does have the authority to fix the date. And in revised ordinances of Honolulu 8-12.1, that date is fixed as January 15. We can discuss our alternative view if the court wants us to do that as well.
Well, if they have that power, why don't they have the power to say that when that date falls on a weekend, that's when it shall be filed, particularly given the delegation of constitutional authority over taxation under Article 8, Section 3?
Well, again, we do not agree that they do have the power to fix that date, but it is within the power of the legislature to allow the city to do that, and in fact, in the recent 2011 amendment, the legislature allowed the city to impose a requirement that the cities and the counties to impose a requirement that the taxpayer has to go through the board of review process first if the city requires that. And so you have the legislature giving the counties that permission. The city and county has not done that. At least Maui County, I believe, has done that. So that's an example of the legislature deferring in that instance with regard to appeals to the tax appeal court.
Mr. Rolfing, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
Wilson,
while you're on the issue of 8-12.1, could you explain your view as to the extent to which HRS Section 1-29 and 1-32 have any effect on that January date that's set by the city ordinance?
Yes. HRS 1-32, Your Honor. That date is the date, assuming that it's January 15th, is fixed. And 1-32 provides that anytime you have a date, any act of a secular nature appointed by law to be performed upon a particular day, which day falls upon a Sunday or holiday, the act may be performed upon the next business day with the same effect as if it had been performed upon the appointed day. And so that is our argument, is that since the date is fixed on January 15, because that date is appointed, that date fell on a Sunday, then the next business day was Tuesday, January 17th.
And your position then is that the delegation to the county was not meant to conflict with 1-32?
That's correct. And that law, 1-32, as well as 1-29, are laws of statewide concern. And the legislature in Article 8, Section 6, provides that nothing in this article, which would include Section 3 of Article 8, affects the power of the legislature to enact laws of statewide concern.
Take you back to Article 3, Section 3? So that's a provision that basically sort of a home rule provision that provided the counties with authority over real property taxation, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And when you even go back and look in the legislative or the history of the Constitutional Convention, there seems to be references or at least acknowledgments that that power could extend to or in some way could encompass appeals. And so the question is, why not give that provision the sort of scope or interpret it as allowing the county to say, we respectfully choose not to adopt the rule set forth in 132, and we're carving out from that, and that's within our power under the Constitution.
Well, first of all,
why can't they do that, or why isn't that an appropriate argument? I believe that's one of their arguments. Respond to that.
Correct. And it is because not only are the weekend rule laws, HRS 1-29 and 1-32, laws of statewide concern, but the Tax Appeal Court is also a state court, and unless the legislature specifically grants that power to the city, it is the legislature that controls the jurisdiction, the access, and the timing of the appeal for the Tax Appeal Court. It would, but I don't believe the legislature has allowed the city to set that date. It could. It could allow the city to set the date.
Said for purposes of argument today, you're conceding that city and county have the
city. Well, we're not conceding it, but we're willing to argue it that the city could have be able to fix the date. With regard to our view, we believe it's 30 days after the mailing of the notice based on the rules of the Tax Appeal Court because there is no overarching state statute in force anymore.
So the ordinance has no effect at all? The ordinance that sort of cited for the proposition that it's January 15th, your position, although you're willing to assume to the contrary today, is that that's invalid?
Well, I wouldn't say it's invalid unless it conflicts with the state law. In this case, it would not, because 30 days after what the city says is their bailing date, December 15th, would have been January 14th. January 15th would have been a day later, so it wouldn't have an impact in this case, whether it's Saturday, January 14th, or Sunday, January 15th.
If we were to allow the city to say when a specific how timeliness is going to be construed, I don't think, couldn't this, the city say, well, we're also going to require that the notice of appeal only be filed, say, between specific hours, say, between 2 and 4 with the state court. It can only be done on a specific type of paper. It can only be done on alternate weeks. I mean, there's no end in.
I don't see an end. That is a slippery slope that doesn't have an end, because if the city has full power and authority to set the dates for tax appeals to the state tax appeal court, then it would be controlling the jurisdiction far beyond, in the sense that when they mail that notice, that starts the clock running. As far as when we have a time to appeal. So they do affect it in that way.
I mean, they could require that if they wanted to say, look, not only are we going to require electronically only or however the city deems it wants to control the state, I guess every county could do it too. I mean, we could have 30 different rules or 50 different rules governing how appeals, the typesetting, the fonts, the, I mean.
I'm in full agreement, Justice Pollack, with what you're saying, because I think that highlights the importance of when we were talking about a state institution like the State Tax Appeal Court, that the state legislature is the one in control and not the city and county or the city council or whatever in terms of access to that avenue.
So could the state pass a statute that says no appeal shall be, no county may enact an ordinance or otherwise require an appeal to be filed anything less than a year? Minimum date, minimum amount of time of a year. Could the state impose that?
Yes, with regard to tax appeals to the tax appeal.
Could.
I don't think it could. It could affect beyond the weekend rules. I don't think that under Article 3 that the state would have the authority to direct the counties that they have to give a year to bring an appeal to a board of review. That is a county. The county can make that determination when appeals are due for their board of review.
You know,
of course, that would also be subject to state and constitutional due process and vagueness issues as well. So they would have to comply with the state constitution. But I do believe that they do have authority, quite a bit of authority and discretion in how they direct the process of appeals to their own internal boards of review.
Where it says, however, 232.16a, where it says, an appeal to the tax appeal court is properly commenced by filing on or before the date fixed by law for the taking of an appeal, there is no other statute that governs when that appeal should be taken, correct?
There was, but in this case there is not, and there is not today, because there was a statute in Chapter 246 that was repealed by the legislature in 2016, so that one anchor or one fixed date that was in that statute is now no longer there. And so our view is that means we go to the rules of the tax appeal court, because they have the effect of law.
Wait, why are you suggesting that the court rules can set deadlines for notices of appeal?
Well, they certainly do for the Supreme Court. We had to follow the court rules.
Actually, those are set by statute.
Okay.
How about Article 6, Section 1 of the Hawaii Constitution that says the several courts shall have original and appellate jurisdiction as provided by law?
Yes.
So, therefore, wouldn't the statutes or law, so I'm just wondering, if there's no other statute, what is the basis for your argument that the county would not be able to set by ordinance the time for filing an appeal? Let's assume, you know, if there was a,
Your Honor,
if 246
I think,
was still in effect,
yeah, Justice
that
McKenna,
might govern.
I think you've raised a strong point, and that is that the state can defer to the city in certain instances where you don't have a conflict between the state and the city's law. I think in this case, I think the city has followed the 30-day requirement. I recall reading in their brief, with regard to amended assessments, those amended assessments can come at any time. And in that case, then we do have to fall back on the tax appeal court rule too. So because there is no statutory provision for appealing amended assessments to the, there's no date fixed by a statute for appealing an amended assessment to the state tax appeal court, but we do it. And the city doesn't disagree that we have that power, and those assessments can come long after January 15th.
Why doesn't the repeal in 2016 imply an intent by the legislature to defer to the counties and give the counties full authority to set the date?
It could be determined that way. It could be read that way. But we do believe that if the legislature has, either by implication or by or expressly delegated to the counties, like they do expressly delegate to the counties the right to impose the requirement to go to the Board of Review first, that is still limited. The legislature can still limit that, and a law of statewide concern like HRS 1-29 and HRS 1-32 will still govern when the due date, the actual date that the document needs to be given to the tax appeal court.
There's a distinction between setting a due date and defining whether jurisdiction has been complied with. One is a court's responsibility defining its jurisdiction. Under the county's ordinance, aren't what they doing, in a sense, by saying, look, we're saying, well, look at it this way. If we didn't have the ordinance, it wouldn't be making this argument. So in other words, they're saying, well, there would have been jurisdiction, but we're taking it away. Does the county have that authority under our Constitution?
Absolutely not. It cannot take away the right of a taxpayer to obtain review by the state tax appeal court. And that's essentially what the city is attempting to do in this case.
Well, could you clarify then, Mr. Rolfing, is it your position that Article 8, Section 6 does contain the authority, or does imply the authority, to delegate to the county the power to do away with the weekend rule?
If the legislature enacted legislation expressly stating the county may alter the weekend rules, then I think the legislature would have that power, subject to constitutional norms, which I do think might affect the legislature's ability to do that. Meaning, I think there are due process concerns about abrogating the weekend rule, but having a weekend rule, of course, is consistent with providing an opportunity for taxpayers and all litigants adversarial proceedings to know that statewide, if it's on a Sunday, it's coming, that this has to be done by the next business day. Otherwise, you have chaos in terms of which jurisdictions are going to honor the weekend rule and which are not.
Well, I can understand the policy reasons for having a weekend rule, and your position that the weekend rule is still in effect because the delegation that took place wasn't meant to do away with it. But yes, I was just trying to get clear whether you think a delegation is appropriate under Article 8, Section 6, because it may interfere with this court's authority to set jurisdiction.
I guess my best answer, Justice Wilson, is that we don't have that situation here.
All right.
And where the legislature has given the counties the option, as they did with the Board of Review prerequisite, to abrogate and vacate the weekend rule. And I would argue for the taxpayer in that situation as well, but I don't think we're there right now.
All right.
If the county, Honolulu County, were to pursuant to the state law that says that, you know, before filing an appeal to the pursuant to 23216, before filing an appeal to the tax appeal court, if the county has set an internal procedure for review, like to their own board of review, if the county was to, Honolulu County was to require that, as you indicated, perhaps Maui has already done, Do you think that under 8 dash, the 8-12.1, they could limit the application of the weekend rule as to their own internal reviews?
I don't think so, because I believe that the weekend rule applies to all government processes across the board. So they certainly could impose the requirement that you have to go to the Board of Review, but I don't believe they have the authority to ignore the weekend rule, even within their own internal procedures.
Could they?
But again, we're not, you know, this is not that case, but that is my view.
I may be making a jump that may not be correct, but if we affirm the tax court, couldn't the city also pass an ordinance, or maybe it already applies, that they could try to control the weekend rule to us or control our rules? I mean, in other words, if they're having the authority over our state court system to determine what is timely, what would prevent them under the same analysis to determine from appeals from the circuit court to us?
There's, Justice Pollack, there's nothing that would prevent the city. If you follow out their argument to its full conclusion that anything having to do with real property taxes is under the control of the city, they could also affect the timing and when an appeal from a tax appeal court case involving a city real property tax assessment could be appealed to the Hawaii Supreme Court or the Intermediate Court of Appeals, as in this case. And I will mention, the ordinances do mention state statutes. They refer to state statutes throughout the ordinances. And our view is that where the ordinances are not inconsistent and don't conflict with the state statutes, then there's nothing wrong with those ordinances. But if the ordinances are trying to essentially preempt the state in terms of the jurisdiction of its courts, the tax appeal court and the Supreme Court, then the city has gone beyond its authority. Shall we go reserve the rest of the time?
Reserve the rest of your time. We'll hear from Mr. Oxalute at this point.
Good morning. May it please the court. The appellant in this case would have this court believe that the most general of statutes contained in Chapter 1 of HRS enacted in 1923 under the heading Common Law and applicable to quote-unquote any act of a secular nature takes precedence over a specific ordinance enacted pursuant to a grant of power conferred by the Constitution of the State of Hawaii.
How do you reconcile Article 6, Section 1 with Article 8, Section 3 of the Constitution?
I'm sorry?
How do you reconcile Article 6, Section 1, which allows the legislature to establish the several courts shall have original and appellate jurisdiction as provided by law?
Well, Your Honor, the law in this instance, there are a number of laws which the Tax Appeal Court correctly recognized must be read in pari materia. The first of which would be HRS 23216, which, as you correctly pointed out, requires that all appeals to the Tax Appeal Court be made on before the date fixed by law. What is the date fixed by law? It is not stated anywhere in any state statute. It's stated in every ordinance of all of the counties. And guess what? All of the counties have different dates for filing real property tax appeals.
Mr. Oxley, I don't think Mr. Walting disputes that the counties have the authority to set whatever date. But I think, how do you respond to his argument when there's a conflict between the state and the city ordinances that we have to look to the state's definition of timeliness?
Well, we don't agree that there is a conflict here. We are not, the city is not trying to abrogate the weekend rule. The city enacted a specific ordinance applying solely to real property tax appeals.
How does that not abrogate the weekend rule?
Well, because ROH 8-12.1 already says on or before January 15th.
Right, so it abrogates.
And HRS 232.16 says on or before the date set by law. As Judge Chang correctly recognized down below, on or before means on or before. It doesn't mean you have till the 17th. So we don't see that there's a conflict here.
It's, you know, when I read 232.16d, it looks like to me, under your analysis, we would have to declare the statute unconstitutional. And the reason is because 232.16d says an appeal to the tax court shall be deemed to have been taken in time if the notice thereof and costs and a copy have been deposited in the mail. So if you deposit it in the mail on a postage date and it gets there after January 15th, well then, under your interpretation, this statute gets overridden. It's unconstitutional.
I would disagree, Justice Pollack, and that is not what the taxpayer here did. They did not attempt.
I understand that's not what they did, but why wouldn't this statute be unconstitutional if we accept your position?
I'm sorry, why would the statute not be unconstitutional?
Yes, because this says, according to you, it has to be filed or received by January 15th. In other words, if it's not, if the appeal isn't taken in the tax court, isn't filed in the tax court by January 15th, it's untimely.
Actually, the your rule says that the appeal has to be taken pursuant to HRS section 232.16. So you're saying that if they Kalaeloa Ventures had deposited this in the mail on January 15th, and it arrived like 3 or 4 days later, you would have deemed this timely. Is that right?
Well, January 15th was a Sunday, so there would.
Okay, so if they had deposited in the mail on January 14th, and it arrived on the 19th or so, you would have said this was timely.
That's correct, and it's correct because of the exact same rule of the Tax Appeal Court that the appellant is citing to, which is Rule of the Tax Appeal Court number 2, which says you can mail it. In this instance, you could have FedExed it.
So your argument here is that court rules can establish appellate jurisdiction?
That's not what I'm saying, Your Honor. I'm saying what the appellant could have done in order to avoid us appearing before you today. It could have been mailed. It certainly could have been mailed. That's not what they did. They could have FedExed it Sunday evening.
What is the policy reason for...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Doesn't that just belie your argument that the rule says what it says on or before January 15th? But there could be exceptions. So you're saying that one of the exceptions is in the statute where it can be, mailed, the statute says it can be mailed, right?
Mailed to the tax appeal court on or before January 15th.
What about the statute that says there's an exception to the weekend rule? Why doesn't that statute apply?
Which statute
are you referring to? Why can't the weekend statute, the weekend rule apply if the other one does? It seems like if you said it has to be followed on. And that's what the court filed on or before January 15th. It's clear. But now you're conceding that it could be mailed in.
It could
doesn't necessarily mean on or before.
It could have been mailed on or before January 15th.
Okay.
So we're not really conceding anything. We're still saying it has to be on or before January 15th.
It has to be on or before.
The appeal under the rules of the Tax Appeal Court number 2, it would have to have been placed in the mail on or before January 15th. That's not what happened here.
And what part, the ordinance says it has to be filed on or before January 15th. Isn't that what you said?
Correct. The rule of the Tax Appeal Court.
Why can't the statute that invokes the weekend rule also be followed, or be at odds with the statute that allows mail?
Because the statute that the appellant relies on would allow a taxpayer to file after January 15th. And
What is your concern? Because if it was in the mail on January 14th, and, you know, you wouldn't get it until the maybe 17th or 18th, right, if via the mail. So the concern is, I mean, I could understand a concern that, you know, you want to know what's being appealed and what's not being appealed by a date certain. But if you're conceding that the mail drop would have been sufficient, and sometimes mail gets delayed, what is the policy reason that you're just trying to enforce here?
Justice McKenna, what this case is really about is having, as we're entitled to have, a hard and fast deadline by which real property tax appeals are to be filed every year. January 15th falls on a different day every year. So in order for there to be some certainty, the ordinance already reads on or before January 15th.
Why wouldn't you have a hard and fast rule if you conceded that the weekend rule applied? You know that if it's on the weekend, it has to be filed by the next business day thereafter.
That would not be a hard and fast rule, with all due respect.
Let me ask you this. If the county had passed a rule or an ordinance contrary to 232.16d with regard to mailing, would that ordinance be valid? In other words, if the county ordinance said, provided further that such documents shall be received and mailing shall not be, the fact of mailing shall not be filing for the purposes of this ordinance, would that be valid or not valid?
I can't imagine any reason why the city would want to do something like that.
I'm trying to understand the limits of your argument with regards to the limits of the power and the basis of the city's power. So if I understand correctly, you're saying there's a constitutional grant of authority and or the statute 232.16 says on or before the date fixed by law for taking of the appeal. So it left it to the county. The questions that are being asked now are, well, there's also a provision in 232.16 that talks about filing by mail. Is that something that the county could choose to abrogate, or would that be beyond its power under this statute?
Well, Your Honor, you're asking a hypothetical that I cannot imagine happening, but
I'm trying to understand the basis of the power that you're asserting here. I'm trying to find, is it a constitution? Is it the statute?
It's in the constitution, Your Honor. And if I may direct the court's attention to the exact wording of Article 8, Section 3.
So it's not based on the statute. It's not based on the language in the statute that says honor before the date fixed by law.
That is part of the law that establishes jurisdiction. But if you're asking about the power of the counties, we've been talking about it in general terms, but if we examine the exact language of what Article 8, Section 3, the powers conferred upon the counties, it says all powers.
So do you have all appellate powers? Does that all belong to the county?
Well,
do you have all power over the county? All over appeals.
The exact language is all powers, functions, and duties. So that's all powers, all functions. An appeal from a real property tax assessment is a function of real property taxation.
So are our tax courts unconstitutional? Because if you have exclusive authority over tax appeals, I'm not sure how our tax courts can function.
Well, we have to work with the tax appeal court. That's why we read these statutes.
So you're just letting it go along, but theoretically they're unconstitutional?
No, we're not. It's not unconstitutional, Your Honor.
But doesn't the legislature have the authority to set jurisdiction? What about the argument that by stopping or not allowing the statute 132 to go through and using the weekend rule, you're limiting the jurisdiction that the legislature has the authority. You're allowed to set the date, but the legislature sets the jurisdiction. How
Correct.
Are you not impeding on the jurisdiction of the that the legislature has, or the power of the legislature to set the jurisdiction of the tax appeal court?
Justice Nakayama, the city does have the power to set the date. The city does have the power to clarify that date. The city in this instance is not limiting the jurisdiction, but we have the power to establish jurisdiction. It's up to the tax appeal court to interpret where their jurisdiction lies. And in this instance, they...
Excuse me. You said you have the power to establish the jurisdiction of the tax court?
In the sense that we have the power to set and interpret the deadline. The jurisdiction is talked about two different ways.
What other authority do you have over the tax courts? Based on your... I mean, can you set the dates when cases have to be decided? Can you set the dates? Can you determine... Some of my prior questions, the form, right, how it's filed, whether it could be electronic or all those, is that all also within the county authority?
But Justice Pollack, the city is not arguing that it has any power over the tax appeal court. Tax appeal court exists by virtue of state law. All we're arguing is that we have the right to set the deadline for filing real property tax appeals and to clarify what that deadline means. The tax appeal court has the power to determine whether we are correct and whether jurisdiction lies as a result of filing. We're not talking about jurisdiction in terms of, as the appellant has argued, citing other state statutes which talk about specific jurisdiction. We're just talking about timeliness and whether an appeal has been perfected and whether jurisdiction lies.
Mr. Armstrong, I'm sorry, go ahead.
We're bound by the tax appeals court's interpretation of jurisdiction, correct? You're not arguing right?
No.
Okay.
I'm in answer to Justice Pollack's question, he's asking what power do we think we have over the tax appeal court? And I'm not saying that we have any power over the tax appeal court. We have our powers within our own grant of constitutional authority to set the deadline and to interpret that deadline.
Accepting that, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Archilog, but accepting the proposition that Article 8, Section 3 is a delegation that permits setting the deadline, why is it that you're taking the position that that delegation necessarily was intended with the ordinance 8-12-1, the delegation intended to give the county the option of doing away with the weekend rule? Because I don't see anything that necessarily is in the legislative history to that ordinance that would suggest the purpose of the ordinance was anything other than to set a date provided by law. And if that's the case, if you could help me with the reason that the weekend rule isn't still in effect, because 1-29 says that it refers to the time in which any act provided by law is to be done. So January 15th is the time that this particular act is supposed to be done, and then determining what would take place when that act falls on a weekend would seem to fall within HRS 1-29. And what about the history of 8-12.1 says that it shouldn't be followed just as it's intended to be applied, which is to January 15th as an act provided by law?
Well, again, Justice Wilson, we're not trying to do away with the weekend rule. That's not what the city is trying to do here. The city is clarifying that the deadline, which says on or before January 15th, means... And you must read 8-12.1 in conjunction with the newly amended ordinance, which really has not been mentioned yet today, and that's ROH Section 8-1.16.
Does that address the weekend rule?
It does.
In what sense?
Well, if you look at 8-1.16, you read that in conjunction with 8-12.1, Section 8-1.16 consists of two sentences. The first sentence says, when the due date for any notice, application, document, or remittance required by this chapter, meaning Chapter 8, falls on a Saturday, Sunday, or legal holiday, that notice, application, document, or remittance shall not be due until the next succeeding day, which is not a Saturday, Sunday, or legal holiday. In other words, 8-1.16 reiterates that the weekend rule does apply in certain instances. We're talking about notices, applications, documents, remittance, which is a payment. The second sentence, which is the amendment to 8-1.16, specifically says, notwithstanding the foregoing, the due date for any appeal, which is what we're talking about here, shall comply with the jurisdictional requirements set forth in the law establishing the right to appeal. Now, the appellant in this case is arguing that the law establishing the right to appeal is HRS 23216.
No, that's not what they're arguing.
That's what they're arguing, Your Honor.
They
have argued that.
Right, okay.
We would have to respectfully disagree with that. The law establishing the right to appeal is ROH Section 8-12.1.
So the ordinance gives the right to appeal? The legislature has no... I thought it was the Constitution and the state statutes by the legislature that provided the right.
Well, again, we're talking about the constitutional delegation of powers to the counties. Each of the counties now has their own ordinances equivalent of the city's ROH.
But that's 8-12.1. I can appreciate your point. However, it seems to just get us back to the same position we're in now. When you consider the right of appeal as provided by law, why wouldn't the right of appeal as provided by law be defined in the context of the weekend rule? I don't see anything that says specifically that it's intended to do away with the weekend rule. That's still part of what's provided by law with respect to an appeal.
Prior to the amendment to ROH Section 8-1.16, that would probably have been correct, Justice Wilson. But we did amend it, and that's the crux of this whole problem that brings us before you today, that we amended 8-1.16 to specifically exclude real property tax appeals from the application of the weekend rule. This is a specific statute versus the more general
specific weekend. Ordinance, not
specific
a statute.
Ordinance, correct.
You know what? Although you term it antiquated, what about HRS 1-32 is not a statute of statewide concern? Isn't it a statute of statewide concern?
The statute itself is an issue of statewide concern.
Okay. Now, if it's a statute of statewide concern, does 8-1.16 conflict with it?
In other words, it creates an issue of statewide concern? Is that what you're asking?
No, does it conflict? If the weekend rule allows them to file on Tuesday and you have an ordinance that says they can't file on Tuesday, is there a conflict?
Well, we would not, again, as I stated earlier, that is not a conflict. The Tax Appeal Court did not believe it was a conflict either, because we have the specific statute that applies only in the instance of real property tax appeals. The ordinance already read on or before January 15th. HRS 23216 already read on or before the date fixed by law. So we do not see a conflict.
Can you respond to, I'm not sure you answered Justice Pollack's question about why, under your reading of these ordinances and statutes in the Constitution, the county wouldn't have expansive power to intrude upon the operations of the Tax Appeal Court. If it can set deadlines for the filing of appeals, why could it not set rules regarding the form of those appeals, whether they can be electronic, written, the type font, whatever it might be, and how far could that intrusion go? Why aren't you opening the door to that kind of intrusion? And perhaps you're choosing not to assert that kind of power now, but why wouldn't you be opening the door to asserting it down the line?
What I would say, Chief Justice, is that the state has directed the counties to enact ordinances setting the process by which to appeal. But the rules that govern, say, for instance, the font type, paper size, things like that, they do not relate to real property taxation. They relate to the court's orderly process of handling cases before it. What we've done here is we've specifically limited.
But why couldn't you do that with real property appeals? Why couldn't you come up with those kinds of requirements for any appeal? Because under your argument, you have virtually exclusive full authority over any appeal that arises out of a tax assessment.
Correct. We have all authority over the functions of real property taxation. And that includes the appeal process. I'm not so sure that that extends to the minutiae that we're discussing right now.
Could the county impose a fee on those who file?
Well, we do impose a fee on those who choose to file to Board of Review.
To the Tax Appeals Court?
No, the fees for the Tax Appeal Court are established by state law. We don't.
Could the county do that? Why? And put it another way, why not, under your point of view, couldn't the county do that? It chooses to say, you know, as part of our plenary authority to determine and administer real property taxes, we choose to set the deadlines for those appeals, to not have weekend filing, and also we find that there are costs associated with this process, and the county wishes to recoup those costs. Anyone who files shall have to pay a filing fee of $50 to the county clerk. Why couldn't they do that?
Well, Your Honor, that's an extreme hypothetical.
Of course it is. That's why I'm asking the question, Mr. Oxley. Why? I'm trying to understand the limits of your argument.
Your Honor,
could or couldn't do that, in your view?
No, and we wouldn't. We wouldn't do that.
Well, I understand you wouldn't. Could. The question is could. Why is the power that you're arguing for not uncabined and limitless?
Well, the first thing I would say is that the filing fee paid to the Tax Appeal Court is it's for administrative purposes. It's not directly related to the grant of the functions over real property taxation that has been granted to the counties. We don't read the constitutional grant of authority as giving us the power to impose additional fees at the state court level. We do have power over the fees that we charge at Board of Review, and in fact, we have revised that figure many times over the years.
What, my only question is why not? Why is it that the power is limited to determining the amount of time to file an appeal and the date on which that time runs, but not to these other matters that affect the adjudication of those appeals? If you can answer that question, I appreciate it.
Well, Your Honor, because in this particular instance, the reason why we're arguing that we do have power to set the deadline and to establish jurisdiction is because we need to have some certainty over the dates.
Does that mean that the rest of the state, since they don't follow your rule, or vastly doesn't, you know, the courts, as you acknowledge, 132 and 29, that doesn't give some certainty? Aren't you adopting your own definition of certainty?
Well, no, Your Honor, because in our mind, honor before January 15th provides the certainty. And
how can you be certain? That gets back to that question. What if they had mailed it on January 14th and the mail was delayed? How can you argue that there's certainty with a mailbox rule that allows filing on January 14th, but inapplicability of the weekend rule that allows filing on the Tuesday after the holiday?
Well, there's a difference, Justice, between depositing something in the mail, say, on January 14th, and then going down to Tax Appeal Court on, say, January 17th or January 18th.
Well, you might not get the January 14th filing on Tuesday the 17th, so therefore there really is no certainty. But I want to get back to, you're saying that 1-16 now governs and sets that limitation for January 15th for filing real property tax appeals. The sentence that you rely on, notwithstanding the foregoing, the due date for any appeal shall comply with the jurisdictional requirement set forth in the law establishing the right to appeal. So your argument is that your ordinance 8-12.1A is the law providing the right to appeal?
when read in pari materia with HRS 23216.
Okay, so you do agree that 23216 does give the right to appeal?
It does, but we do not agree with the appellant's position that it is only 23216 that establishes the right to appeal.
Okay, so if 23216 applies, then why doesn't the rest of the state law apply? Why does 1-29 and 1-32, the weekend rules not apply?
Well, Your Honor, because HRS 23216 goes directly to the issue here, and that is filing of real property tax appeals to the tax appeal court. It is a specific statute. 8-12.1, a specific statute related to real property tax appeals.
Why isn't 1-32 and 1-29? It says 1-29 that says the time in which any act provided by law, even that same expression, is to be done. 1-32, when any act of a secular nature other than a work of necessity or mercy is appointed. In other words, these are expansive and would apply. If we're going to apply the law, we can't just pick and choose. That's what you're arguing.
Well, we have chosen to clarify the deadline in this instance solely for real property tax.
No,
appeals.
What I'm suggesting is what Justice McKenna just asked you. You can't pick and choose amongst the state law.
Well, the distinction I'm trying to make is that we have a specific HRS statute, 23216. 1-29, 1-32 are general. They apply to a whole host of things. They apply to not just deadlines. They apply.
But specific in general, that doctrine applies is when you have something conflicting. Here we have two statutes, and they're both applicable, and they don't conflict.
Which statutes are you referring to?
I'm talking about the statute that creates jurisdiction to allow you to appeal, and I'm talking about the weekend rule. There's no conflict.
But there is.
The conflict comes from the ordinance, not from state statutes.
So
there's no reason why one would not apply both statutes.
But that right to set the deadline set forth in the ordinance comes from the statute, 23216. And it comes from the constitutional grant of authority to the counties.
23216 doesn't say that you can limit the application of other state law. Nothing in there that says that.
What it says is that your appeal needs to be filed on or before the date set forth by law, which is 8-12.1. On or before is used both times.
And on or before does appear in other state statutes as well, as you're aware of.
Correct. But we prefer to go with Judge Gary Chang's interpretation, and what he said was on or before means on or before. It doesn't mean January 17th is okay.
Mr. Oxlade, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but along those lines, could you kind of complete your thought about the delegation that you see under Article 8, Section 3? I understand you're saying that the Ordinance 8-12.1 basically repeals the weekend rule, right?
No, Justice, that is not what I'm saying.
What would the language be that you'd use as to the effect of 8-12.1 on HRS 129? Is 129 still in effect?
Yes, of course. 8-12.1 sets the deadline as on or before January 15th. It is 8-1.16, which clarifies.
Okay. Well, however you want to interpret the ordinances, it seems to me that you're arguing that the weekend rule doesn't apply in this case, right?
In matters of real property tax appeals.
Yeah. Okay. Well, with respect to real property tax appeals, when you make the point that the weekend rule is no longer in effect because of the ordinance, you're suggesting that the delegation, the constitutional delegation to handle real property taxes, includes the authority to supplant or repeal the weekend rule, right?
It allows the counties to set the deadline and to...
Okay, but it's a deadline...
Interpret the deadline.
It's a deadline that in this case would be set in a way that doesn't allow relief under the weekend rule, right?
That's
in this case. Okay, so help me with this. What would be your position if the legislature decided to clarify and say, for example, that the weekend rule is still in effect, would it be your view that that would be unconstitutional because it would conflict with the delegation that was the delegation to the county under Article 8, Section 3?
In fact, Your Honor, this is exactly what happened in the Anzai case that was heard and decided by this court a number of years ago. That's 99 Hawaii 508. The city passed an ordinance which took away the exemption enjoyed by lessees of state property. The state came back the following year and enacted Act 227, I believe it was, which said that the city could not do that. Well, the Anzai court came in and said, you correctly ruled that the state did not have the power to do that. Because of the constitutional grant of authority to the counties over.
Okay, so.
Except what the court said in Anzai was that the county had exclusive authority with exemptions. You folks do not have exclusive authority over appeals, as you've acknowledged, because we have a tax court. I'm not sure Anzai really helps your argument.
Well, what the Constitution says is all powers, all functions, all duties relating to the taxation of real property shall be exercised exclusively by the counties. That's the exact language of Article 8, Section 3.
But also Article, 6 says that appellate jurisdiction is as provided by law, and 232 says that the tax, there is a right to appeal to the tax appeal court. But I have to express a little bit of concern by what you seem to be repeatedly saying. You are arguing that the county has the power to not only set the deadline but interpret your own deadlines. And you seem to be arguing that you also now have the judicial power.
Perhaps I was inartful in my choice of words. We have the power to set the deadline. We have the power to clarify that deadline. It is the tax appeal court. It's up to the tax appeal court to interpret whether jurisdiction lies in any particular.
I'm sorry, but I want to be very clear that Article 6, Section 1 says that the judicial power of the state is vested in a Supreme Court and other courts as the legislature may establish. I want to be clear that this court does determine interpretation of law, not the tax appeal court.
Correct.
Anything further? Your time expired a few moments,
yes,
minutes ago. Anything to wrap up at this point very briefly or not?
I really don't, Your Honor. Thank you very much.
Very much. Very well. Thank you for your argument. We'll hear Mr. Rolfing's rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. We believe, and I think we briefed it pretty comprehensively, that Article 8, Section 3 does not encompass the right to appeal real property taxes to the state tax appeal court. It doesn't authorize the city and county to limit the tax appeal court's jurisdiction to hear appeals that would otherwise be within the court's statutorily defined jurisdiction. I want to go to the genesis of the entire dispute is this ordinance section, or revised ordinances of Honolulu section 8-1.16, and the court has gone over that a little bit, but I just think this new language where 8-1.16. This is the city's weekend rule here, but now it has a qualifier, a proviso at the end saying, notwithstanding the foregoing, our weekend rule, the due date for any appeal shall comply with the jurisdictional requirements set forth in the law establishing the right to appeal. The law establishing the right to appeal is in state statutes. In 232-16. So we don't see how allowing for the city to, even if you thought that the city could abrogate the weekend rule, I don't think they've done it here. They have said you have to comply with the jurisdictional requirements. And we have done that. And we believe the weekend rule, with regard to the state tax appeal court, the weekend rule in the state statutes is in full force and effect, and the city cannot alter that.
And I just want to follow up with a, it's not the facts here, but if you had deposited these appeals in the mail on January 17th, would you be arguing that 232, under 232.16d?
Yes. I think that would be consistent with the Highland case as well.
Yes. Okay.
Any further questions?
Anything further? All right. Thank you to both of our attorneys for your arguments today. The court will take this matter under advisement. Thank you.
Thank you.